From VOA Learning English, this is As It Is. I'm Katie Weaver. Today on the show, we remember the musical genius David Bowie. But first, we talk about movies, specifically 2016 Oscar-nominated movies. Here is Jim Tedder.
The survival epic The Revenant and the science fiction tale The Martian are among the top nominees for Academy Awards this year. The Oscar nominations were announced early Thursday in Beverly Hills, California. The Revenant and The Martian are among the 8 nominated for Best Motion Picture. The others include Mad Max, Fury Road, the latest in the Australian series of post-apocalyptic drama, and Bridge of Spies, based on a true story of spying during the Cold War. Leonardo DiCaprio, star of The Revenant, and The Martian lead actor Matt Damon will compete for the Best Actor Oscar. The two also face Bryan Cranston in his portrayal of the Hollywood writer and title character of Trumbo. The Academy also honored Eddie Redmayne with a Best Actor nomination. He plays a transgender person in The Danish Girl. Actor Michael Fassbender is also up for the award for playing the Apple company founder Steve Jobs in the movie of the same name. Best Actress nominees include Cate Blanchett for Carol, a story of a romance between two women, and Jennifer Lawrence for Joy, the real inventor Lawrence and successful businesswoman Joy Mangano. Actor Brie Larson is also nominated for her role as a mother held captive with her child for years in the film Room. Oscar nominees for supporting performances include Mark Ruffalo and Rachel McAdams for Spotlight. The film is based on the true story of the journalists who uncovered the child sex crimes in the Catholic Church. Rooney Mara was nominated for Carol, Tom Hardy for The Revenant, and Christian Bale is up for his part in The Big Short. Sylvester Stallone is also nominated for Creed, in which he returns as the boxer, now trainer, character, Rocky Balboa. Nominees for Best Director include George Miller for Mad Max, Fury Road, Alejandro Iñárritu for The Revenant, and Tom McCarthy for Spotlight. As always, there were snubs. Ridley Scott did not make the list of Best Directors, although his film The Martian was honored with several nominations. Michael Keaton was not nominated for his supporting role in Spotlight. And Johnny Depp's starring role as the true-life gangster Whitey Bulger in Black Mass was not recommended for an award. African Americans were once again notably missing. Among the surprising omissions was director F. Gary Gray for the hip-hop story Straight Outta Compton. The Oscars are considered the top award in the American movie industry. The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences will present the awards in a televised ceremony February 28th at the Dolby Theater in Hollywood. I'm Jim Tedder.
Few rock and rollers have been as exciting, experimental, and personable as British musical legend David Bowie. His death January 10th shocked many and saddened even more. 2 days earlier, he had turned 69 and released a new album, Black Star. Bowie discovered he had liver cancer in 2013. He had not made the information public. Millions of fans expressed their grief and love for the artist in a flood of messages on social media and other outlets. Others have left flowers and notes in honor of the musician at places he lived, worked, or is honored. Bowie was famous for more than just music. He was an early gender bender in his style of dress. He was a famous experimenter with musical styles as well. He was one of the creators of glam rock and mixed it with hard rock, dance, pop, soul, and punk.
This is ground control to Major Tom.
He rocketed to fame with his 1969 song, Space Oddity. The song is about an astronaut in space. It evokes the loneliness of the Cold War space race. The song came out in the same month that men first walked on the moon. Bowie calls the astronaut Major Tom.
Here am I sitting in a tin.
Three years later, David Bowie released The Rise of Ziggy Stardust and Spiders from Mars. The album introduced one of music's most famous personas, the red-headed, androgynous, futuristic rock star Ziggy Stardust. He wore shiny clothes, metallic face paint, and high boots. Bowie retired Ziggy Stardust in 1973. But he continued to be a beloved character in the world of rock and roll.
Making love with his ego. Ziggy sunk up into his mind. Like a leper messiah. When the kids had killed the man.
In the mid-1970s, Bowie created another persona. The thin white Duke was sophisticated in a bright white shirt and black vest and pants. His white blonde hair was brushed straight back from his head. He was seen as romantic and yet emotionless. His character was linked to the city of Los Angeles, where Bowie was living at the time. Los Angeles is often seen as soulless. The character is introduced in Bowie's Station to Station album of 1976. The singer was suffering from a cocaine dependency at the time.
Don't let me hear you say life's taking you nowhere. That sky, life's begun. Nights are warm and the days are young. Come, baby. Lose my fever, lost my soul. Put some big and you save a little soul.
David Bowie was born David Jones in 1947 in London. He was a young music fan and at 13 began to study saxophone. His older brother, Terry, introduced him to rock and roll. Jones changed his name to Bowie because of a popular singer named Davy Jones, who performed with the Monkees. Biography.com says he got the name Bowie from the famous Bowie knife. Among Bowie's other big hits of the 1970s were the songs Changes, Fame, and Heroes. In the 1980s, he had huge success with the album Let's Dance. and he never stopped creating. He told the Associated Press in a 2002 interview, "My entire career, I've only really worked with the same subject matter. The trousers may change, but the actual words and subjects I've always chosen to write with are things to do with isolation, abandonment, fear, and anxiety. All of the high points of one's life."
Put on your red shoes and dance the blues. Let's dance to the song they're playing on the radio.
Bowie was also an actor, playing in major movies, including The Last Temptation of Christ and The Hunger. But he also took part in smaller projects. He played himself in the television show Extras, and even voiced a character in the popular animated show SpongeBob SquarePants. David Bowie was admitted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1996. He also co-wrote Lazarus, which is finishing its run on Broadway this month. Bowie is survived by his wife, the model Iman, and two adult children, Lexi and Duncan Jones. David Bowie's funeral will be private. His family said Bowie told them he wanted to go without any fuss. However, musicians will honor the man and his music with a concert at New York City's Carnegie Hall on March 31st.
Though nothing, nothing will keep us together.
I'm Katie Weaver.
We can beat them forever.
And that's all the time we have for today. Join us again tomorrow for another As It Is from VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is In the News. Terrorist attacks last week in Indonesia, Turkey, Cameroon, Pakistan, and other countries display the growing reach of terror groups. The Islamic State terror group took credit for the attacks in Istanbul and Jakarta, Indonesia. The attacks left 10 German travelers dead in Istanbul and 7 dead in Jakarta. That included 5 attackers. In Pakistan, 15 people were killed Wednesday in a suicide bombing near a medical clinic claimed by IS-related Taliban. In Cameroon, 13 were killed Wednesday in a market bombing claimed by Boko Haram. The goal of the terror groups is to generate fear across the globe. The attack in Indonesia is a big display that the Islamic State has expanded to Indonesia. Indonesia is the largest Muslim country. However, the bombings there could have been worse. Indonesian officials said a large bomb and 5 smaller devices did not explode. Officials said that showed attackers wanted to cause more destruction than they did, like the Paris attacks in November 2015 that killed 130. And that's In the News. I'm Mario Ritter.
Now, the VOA Special English Program, American Stories. Our story today is called Benito Sereno. It was written by Herman Melville. We will tell this story in 3 parts. Here is Shep O'Neill with part one of Benito Sereno.
Captain Benito Sereno hurried aboard his ship. It was ready to sail. A bright sun and a soft breeze promised good weather ahead. The ship's anchor was raised, and the San Dominique, old but still seaworthy, moved slowly out of the harbor of Valparaiso on the west coast of Chile. It was carrying valuable products and slaves up the Pacific coast to Callao, another Spanish colonial port near Lima, Peru. The slaves, both male and female, slept on deck. They were not chained because their owner, Don Alejandro, said they were peaceful. The San Dominique moved steadily forward under a clear sky. The weather showed no sign of change. Day after day, the soft breeze kept the ship on course toward Peru. Slave traffic between Spain's colonial ports in this year of 1799 had been steady, but there were few outbreaks of violence. What happened, therefore, on board the San Dominique could not have been expected. On the seventh day out, before daybreak, the slaves rose up in rebellion. They swept through the ship with handspikes and hatchets, moving with the fury of desperate men. The attack was a complete surprise. Few of the crew were awake. All hands, except the two officers on the watch, lay in a deep, untroubled sleep. The rebels sprang upon the two officers and left them half dead. Then, one by one, they killed 18 of the sleeping crew. They threw some overboard, alive. A few hid and escaped death. The rebels tied up 7 others, but left them alive to navigate the ship. As the day began to break, Captain Sereno came slowly, carefully, up the steps toward the chief rebel leader, Babo, and begged for mercy. He promised to follow Babo's commands if he would only put an end to the killings. But this had no effect. Babo had 3 men brought up on deck and tied. Then the 3 Spaniards were thrown overboard. Babo did this to show his power and authority, that he was in command. Babo, however, promised not to kill Captain Sereno. But everything he said carried a threat. He asked the captain if in these seas there were any Negro countries. None, Sereno answered. Then take us to Senegal or the neighboring island of St. Nicholas. Captain Sereno was shaken. That is impossible, he said. It would mean going around Cape Horn, and this ship is in no condition for such a voyage, and we do not have enough supplies or sails or water. Take us there anyway, Babo answered sharply, showing little interest in such details. If you refuse, we will kill every white man on board. Captain Sereno knew he had no choice. He told the rebel leader that the most serious problem in making such a long voyage was water. Babo said they should sail to the island of Santa Maria, near the southern end of Chile. He knew that no one lived on the island, but water and supplies could be found there. He forced Captain Sereno to keep away from any port. He threatened to kill him the moment he saw him start to move toward any city, town, or settlement on shore. Sereno had to agree to sail to the island of Santa Maria. He still hoped that he might meet along the way, or at the island itself, a ship that could help him. Perhaps, who knows, he might find a boat on the island and be able to escape to the nearby coast of Arauco. Hope was all he had left, and that was getting smaller each day. Captain Sereno steered south for Santa Maria. The voyage would take weeks. 8 days after the ship turned south, Babo told Captain Sereno that he was going to kill Don Alejandro, owner of the slaves on board. He said it had to be done. Otherwise, he and the other slaves could never be sure of their freedom. He refused to listen to the captain's appeals and ordered two men to pull Don Alejandro up from below and kill him on deck. It was done as ordered. Three other Spaniards were brought up and thrown overboard. Babo warned Sereno and the other Spaniards that each one of them would go the same way if any of them gave the smallest cause for suspicion. Sereno decided to do everything possible to save the lives of those remaining. He agreed to carry the rebels safely to Senegal if they promised peace and no further bloodshed. And he signed a document that gave the rebels ownership of the ship and its cargo. Later, as they sailed down the long coast of Chile, the wind suddenly dropped. The ship drifted into a deep calm. For days it lay still in the water. The heat was fierce, the suffering intense. There was little water. That made matters worse. Some of those on board were driven mad. A few died. The pressure and tension made many violent, and they killed a Spanish officer. After a time, a breeze came up and set the ship free again, and it continued south. The voyage seemed endless. The ship sailed for weeks with little water on board. It moved through days of good weather and periods of bad weather. There were times when it sailed under heavy skies, and times when the wind dropped and the ship lay becalmed in lifeless air. The crew seemed half dead. At last, one evening in the month of August, the San Dominique reached the lonely island of Santa Maria. It moved slowly toward one of the island's bays to drop anchor. Not far off lay an American ship, and the sight of the ship caught the rebels by surprise. The slaves became tense and fearful. They wanted to sail away quickly, but their leader, Babo, opposed such a move. Where could they go? Their water and food were low. He succeeded in bringing them under control and in quieting their fears. He told them they had nothing to fear. and they believed him. Then he ordered everyone to go to work, to clean the decks, and put the ship in proper and good condition, so that no visitor would suspect anything was wrong. Later, he spoke to Captain Sereno, warning him that he would kill him if he did not do as he was told. He explained in detail what Sereno was to do and say if any stranger came on board. He held a dagger in his hand, saying it would always be ready for any emergency. The American vessel was a large trade ship and seal hunter, commanded by Captain Amasa Delano. He had stopped at Santa Maria for water. On the American ship, shortly after sunrise, an officer woke Captain Delano and told him a strange sail was coming into the bay. The captain quickly got up, dressed, and went up on deck. Captain Delano raised his spyglass and looked closely at the strange ship coming slowly in. He was surprised that there was no flag. A ship usually showed its flag when entering a harbor where another ship lay at anchor. As the ship got closer, Captain Delano saw it was damaged. Many of its sails were ripped and torn. A mast was broken, and the deck was in disorder. Clearly, the ship was in trouble. The American captain decided to go to the strange vessel and offer help. He ordered his whaleboat put into the water and had his men bring up some supplies and put them in the boat. Then they set out toward the mystery ship. As they approached, Captain Delano was shocked at the poor condition of the ship. He wondered what could have happened, and what he would find. That will be our story next week.
You have heard part one of the American story, Benito Sereno. It was written by Herman Melville. Your storyteller was Shep O'Neill. Listen again next week at this time when we continue the American story, Benito Sereno, in VOA Special English. I'm Barbara Klein.